Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back live from St. Arnold's Brewery. How is it out there? What's the schedule today,
Beautiful.
Del? What do we
what
got
do you
going today out at St. Arnold?
Chicken sandwiches?
Well, Lance really wants a chicken sandwich.
I really want a chicken sandwich.
The kitchen isn't open as of yet because they're not open. We welcome you out here starting at 10. Starting at 10 o'clock, they're going to be open for business, so that's when you start to come
I'm
out here.
I'm sticking around until I get my sandwich.
Well, I bet you will. Of course, it'll be me from 10 to 12, and then Locked On Astros will be out here from 12 to 3, and then you'll have Jeremy and Joe from 3 to 6. So we're out here all day, of course, starting with John and Lance, but if you want to come out here, that starts at 10. Michael's already set up the picture booth. So if you want to take a picture out here, you can do that as well. But, yeah, a good time out here celebrating not just opening day, but the tournament. It's a big day in Houston sports. We're here for it at St. Arnold. And it's brought to you by Huntington Bank. We should mention them as well.
Yeah.
They're the sponsor for the studio. They're also the sponsor for having us out here along with St. Arnold.
Thank you, Huntington Bank. This is going to be a beautiful day. St. Arnold, I'm just such a huge fan. Love Lenny, who is – been a big proponent. One of our very first little known fact, Dell, John and I, our very first appearance on the road, remote appearance, was in the evening where we went to, I think it was both of us. I know I was there, but I'm pretty sure it was both of us. We came to St. Arnold. It was early on, like probably 97, man. It was when we first started, and St. Arnold was a fan of the show, and they had us out to, and it was before this was all built out, so we were literally in a room with the great big, you know, with the great big machines that were doing the, you know, that were preparing all the ingredients and making the beer, and we were out there, and we had like a Q&A. They had benches out there. We had people come and hang out with us. It was really cool. This is the very first. You probably don't even remember, John, but this was the very first spot we went and did something out and about remote wise with St. Arnold, and they were relatively new. I think they were 1 or 2 years old at most. At that particular time.
Wow, that's old. They're old now. They are old now because that's 25
been
old,
been
plus
established.
Years ago.
Yeah, been established. But
that's almost 30 years ago now.
Yeah. They're Houston's. I think they're Houston's original.
Yeah, I mean they'll have the golf tournament on. You can't be drunk all day unless you start in the morning. So get over there, start drinking at 10. You're gonna have to drink to listen to Del's show there. Okay, let's go. Throw down, and then you got the Astros at 3, and then the Cougs at 9. Hopefully, you know.
God,
you
I can't believe you it's can... 9. Why does it have to be 9?
9, I know, right?
Why do they do this to us? I'll never forget having to do a 6 a.m. radio show at the other station, and Rockets would play the Blazers at 9:30. Like, my God, playoff basketball at 9:30. Terrible.
Yeah.
Or Golden State. Every year it's like, Portland and Golden State. Every year. Every
right.
year. Or Lakers. And you know what they never did? You know what we have to do? We have to move our game to 8 o'clock to help the West Coast. Why don't we do 8 o'clock to help us? Why don't we get 8 o'clock for us? Why do we have to, like, I don't care if this game's on the West Coast. Oh, it's too bad, so sad. Start your game early. I don't care about all your dumb traffic.
Yeah.
Idiots.
No, we don't care.
Don't live there if you don't want that traffic.
What a rocking city we got today. We got the best city in America today. We also got some calls in here. Who's up, Frank?
Let's go.
Let's get Frank in here. Hey, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think this Lance McCullers situation, man, I know it's going to sound like a downer on opening day, but it just brings to mind Steven Strasburg. Steven Strasburg sacrificed his arm in 2019 to beat the best Astros lineup, in my opinion, that we ever had, and we didn't win the World Series. Lance McCullers sacrificed his arm, 26 curveballs in a row to beat the Yankees, get us to the first World Series we won, first one since 2005. I think we just need to pay that guy and let him ride off into the sunset. You know, if I'm Jim Crane, hey, man, things are coming out. We can't do this every year. Best case scenario, he starts the season really hot. We trade him for a bag of chips, and the Astros move on about their business, man. That's just how I feel. You guys might think I'm wrong, but we can't keep pinning our hopes to this guy every year just for him to get hurt. And I know that's not his choice, but it's just reality. I'll shut up and listen.
Yeah.
It's
the last year. It's the last year.
Yeah, I think they are paying him and letting him ride. Listen, if he gets off to another start where he's got a 6.5 ERA like last year, I could see him being designated for assignment, honestly. I could see him getting DFA'd. I don't think they're just going to keep him on the roster because Lance had a – you could really hear the hurt in his heart. They talked to him, and I know you remember the soundbite I'm talking about, John, this spring. And it's a sad story. Strasburg was better than Lance McCullers, but Lance McCullers definitely is part of the history and fabric of the Houston Astros. He's always been around the team. Even when he was hurt and injured, he was down with the team very close. I assume he's still really good friends with Carlos Correa. He's somebody who's been involved in the community. He and his wife do great work in the community. He's somebody who shows up to events left and right. He's been great as a Houstonian, and there's no question that he is a part of the fabric of the championship run. It's just unfortunately his story is going to be peppered with what could have been and what wasn't and the injuries. And while it's not his fault, like, he has 1 year left, John. If he doesn't start off well, I don't think he can take up a roster spot with them, to be honest with you. He's going to get paid one way or another. I could see him getting designated for assignment. I really could. Well, if he gets off to just a miserable run early on.
Yeah, I could see that too. They did that with Jose Abreu. They said, well, let's just cut our losses, send him to Florida. That, well, you know what? We made a mistake.
That's what, a year and a half left on that one, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and this one is in the last year. If, in fact, he can't pitch any more, then that'll be – you know what? I think you're right, because they've got other options, and you can't just throw away every fifth start. You can't. And if he can't pitch any more at a major league level and get guys out, then – you know, and he's got his first start against Boston at home because that'll be game five. That he'll be the starter in game one of the Boston series, and, you know, hopefully he'll come out with a good outing. If he doesn't, I think they give him a couple more. They waited a long time for Abreu. I don't know that they can afford to wait all that long with Lance McCullers.
I bet they wait at least five or six starts.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd have to be a series of bad starts. Plus, they're going to look at spin rate. They're going to look at velocity. They're going to look at exit velo. I mean, they're going to look at certain metrics that determine where he is as a pitcher. But you're right. If he doesn't have it anymore, for what? Why would you – like, you're not going to eat up a roster space on the bullpen with him. If you can't get guys out anymore and you're in the last year of your contract, he didn't pitch in 23, he didn't pitch in 24, and in 25 he was bad. He was bad in every metric you can think of. Innings pitched to hit, I'm saying just basic stuff. Innings pitched to hit, strikeouts per nine, walks to strikeouts, whip number was a 1.7. I mean, this has been 3 years in a row, two where he didn't pitch and one where he had been, you know, he was less valuable than if he hadn't pitched. You know what I mean? Because he brought negative output to the team. You're just not going to give him half a season to prove himself. He needs to prove himself early on. And I'm pulling so hard for him. I really want him to, for our sake as Astros fans, but also on a personal level.
Yeah.
Just because, and we joke about it sometimes, but it's nothing personal. I mean, I really like Lance as a person. I really think he's a good dude.
He is a good guy.
I mean, he doesn't pitch, man. He's just always hurt. And it's just like at some point the frustration level sets in, and what are you going to do? But if you're the Astros, you're right, John. You cannot afford – there's never been a season in this most recent history where you had less wiggle room and margin for error. You just don't have the bats to make up for it anymore.
Nope. All right, let's get Keith in here in a hurry. And catch up on breaks. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the Lance McCullers conversation. I think at some point, obviously, you know, Spencer Arrighetti just takes a spot in the rotation. So I don't know how many starts that is, but obviously Arrighetti deserves to be on the MLB roster. Lance probably does not. Second question, hypothetical trade. Yordan really shouldn't be in left field at all. You've got the influx at the infield position. And you need to upgrade that outfield because it's probably the worst outfield in baseball in terms of hitting. So I have a trade that I think might actually work. Isak Paredes and Zach Cole to Boston for Jaren Duran. What do you think?
Well, they tried to get Duran, I don't know how often, all off season. This is something you're not making. I mean, you're not breaking the news here. They were trying to get Jaren Duran most the entire offseason and couldn't get it done. So I don't know that they weren't offering. I don't know that they were offering Zach Cole. I don't know what the deal was, but it was multiple reports from multiple people that the Astros were in and trying to get Jaren Duran, and it just never happened. So right. I don't know now that. Maybe it is now that they're both going, you know what, let's get it done. We'll just accept whatever it was that maybe the Astros just said no. No, you're asking for too much, or I don't know. I don't know which side it was. But whatever the case may be, Jaren Duran was definitely tried for and couldn't get it done. So
yeah, so now we just hope Paredes can. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm to the point where I'm kind of hoping Christian Walker – struggles early and Paredes. Well, that's not true because Christian Walker can bomb.
No, why
so,
would you?
But I mean, Paredes. Well, I don't want, because I'm trying to find a way for Paredes to get at bats. And how else are you going to do it? He can't play in the outfield. How else are you going to do it? Stick Wee Jose back out in the outfield? Like, we can't do that anymore.
Well, there's plenty of bats. Watch, there'll be plenty of bats.
Well, he's going to have to like. All right, you get this game at third. This game at short. That's what's going to happen. This game at third. This game at second. This game at first.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe this game DH. Yep. That's what's going to happen. They're going to have to find ways to manufacture because he's a great pull hitter, and you got to pull Park.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776, live from St. Arnold's Brewery all day long here on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Homemade. Let's go. Thanks. Thank you to them. Let's talk a little
Huntington,
Zadig.
Huntington Bank.
Oh, Huntington. Excuse me. Huntington
yeah.
Bank.
Let's talk about Zadig Jewelers. We got Zadig Gem of the Day coming up. When we come back, it'll be a quick one, but a good one nonetheless. I want to tell you about what Zadig Jewelers can do for you. For a lot of you out there, you are thinking about what can I do for maybe Mother's Day, but what can I do for this anniversary that's coming up? I got a 10-year anniversary coming up. What can I do to make it special? I've got a 5-year, a 25-year. These are examples of – Zadig is an example of being able to find the perfect jewelry by just simply going to the website and getting an idea and then coming in, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. They've got necklaces, the pendants, the tennis, the Lincoln chain. They've got rings, bypass, wrap, eternity. The eternity rings are a really big deal. A lot of women really, really love that. You can shop by brand. So the biggest brands and the biggest names she's going to recognize are available there. And earrings, bracelets, whether you're looking to go big or do something smaller, Zadig is going to have something for your budget, and they are going to have experts to help you find the perfect gift. And they can buy, sell, or trade jewelry as well as timepieces. I always talk about that with watches, the luxury watches, but they do that with jewelry as well. So there's just so much to see. I highly recommend going to Zadig.com and taking a quick peek if that's something that interests you. But stopping in, you're going to love the store. The store is beautiful. There's a lot of things to do in the area. Grab some lunch. You know, walk the street for a little bit when the weather's nice. But just stop in at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard and see what they can do for you for any special occasion at Zadig Jewelers.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yep, thank you, Huntington Bank, for making it possible for us to be out all day long at St. Arnold. We appreciate you. Appreciate you, Huntington Bank. 713-780-3776, Astros. Texas Children, who's going to call in a golf question today? Texas Children's Hospital golf question, okay?
You sure you want to do this?
It was, yeah.
You know what you're going to get, right?
It used to be free to go out there. I don't know if it still is. I'm not
sure.
Was
it really?
Yeah, they had, I know at least 1 year, maybe more, Maybe it's been more that it was absolutely free just to go, just go show up, walk out.
Was it free when we were going to Redstone or to?
No, I don't believe
it wasn't free out there.
Memorial, it was free in the fall when they were, because it was, you know, during the football season, and but now they've moved into a prime spot. I'm not sure if anybody knows. Give us a call. But let's get a golf call in here, okay? That's enough of this baseball and basketball.
Enough of this opening day.
I can tell you now,
and
it is March not
Madness,
free.
It's not free. It's stop not telling free. People it's free.
Nope, not as it stands now. Okay. Did it stop being free when Jim Crane took over, or did that happen before?
No, Jim Crane. It was free under Jim Crane.
Okay.
Not anymore.
So, not anymore. It's it.
We're trying to get a what? We got to pay Josh Hader. Josh Hader's.
You think that's what brought it on?
Josh Hader is why?
All these pitchers that he has to pay who don't pitch.
See, it's been a lot over the years. No one's paid for more pitchers that didn't pitch than Jim Crane.
Yeah.
Starting with, I mean, you can start with McCullers, but you can, hey, also Justin Verlander made a pretty penny not pitching also.
Oh, my God. Christian Javier and Brandon Walter and
Brandon Walter.
At least those guys weren't making a lot of money.
Luis Garcia, they were still on.
About the big bucks.
They were still on early contracts. Although Urquidy, I think Urquidy had gotten paid a little bit. I'm not sure.
Oh.
But, yeah, no one's paid for more.
Montero.
Pitch.
Well, we'd appreciate, we appreciated it when he didn't pitch.
Montero was just because, well, stink. Not because
we were happy that he wasn't available.
Well, right.
Because of stink.
Biscuit's available. He wants to talk on the radio. Hey, Biscuit.
Hey, top of the morning, my brothers.
How we doing,
hey,
Biscuit?
Man. Put me down as one of them guys that love the late start playing. You know, I get
oh, you like
them?
That's right.
I got a late start. I get off late. So, I mean, I love them late starts, man. And that loss last night for the Rockets, man, that's brutal, man. And who knew? I mean, I've been going back and forth. Man, I even called in on Stephen A's show, man. We have got to start putting Durant down in the ranking lower than what they got him, man. This carelessness with the ball is ridiculous, man. This dude, I thought Harden turned the ball over. This dude is a turnover machine, man. He just, some of the passes he throws are so lazy. It's like, God almighty. Yeah, man. But my point I mainly called in on was the Cougars, man. I just think the Cougars got the right draw, man. I've been watching. I'm a Indiana boy, so I've been watching a lot of Big Ten games this year. Illinois, their defense is sad. Man, they got a good offense, but their defense sucks. And I just think if the Cougars just slow them down a little bit and just rebound, you know, at a decent level and don't get in foul trouble, this is a good matchup for the Cougars to me. And I think Cougars, man, I see them in the Final Four. I've been saying it all. I told you guys earlier, I think they had a better team than last year with depth-wise. And once he started playing McCarty and Mercy more,
Yep. No, you're right. And having the only number one seed out of the tournament is a big plus. They get through this Illinois game. They got Nebraska or Iowa. That's nice. So this is the best. I think it's the easiest road. It's the easiest road. They're the two seed, and all the other brackets have their one seed. So it was really, really nice for Iowa to beat Florida. That's for sure.
This does not necessarily mean you're going to the Final Four if you win this by any stretch. I mean,
no.
It's going to be the children of the corn are going to fight it out for the other spot, but you're going to have to beat one of those. You're going to have to beat some corn farmers over there at some point. But Illinois is your toughest matchup on paper. Yeah. I don't want to jinx it, but I really do think. You know, I really do think the winner of this game is going to move on to the Final Four. I really do, and I'm hoping it's Houston. It would be great. You really want to send home Nebraska. I'd prefer Iowa win because Nebraska travels like a hive. So you want them to lose, and then what happens? So I've been to these events. You have too, Johnny. What happens is the fans have typically you buy two packs, so you buy this game and the next game. And then when you lose, if your team loses that first game, people will walk up and down the aisle trying to sell their tickets for the next game. Now, it's digital now, so I don't know how it's going to work now. But it's always wild to watch people trying to sell their tickets as the game is winding down because they know their team is going to lose, and you're trying to sell it to anyone, to the other team. Hold by because you want to try to get rid of your tickets, your game tickets.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's great when you're there and you can grab those seats right away because they will. They'll just unload them because they might get stuck with them. But, yeah, it is, hopefully there'll be a bunch of Cougs fans looking for them tickets from, well, actually, the other game is first, so that's a problem for Cougs fans. They're not going to, the Iowa and Nebraska people ain't going to be sitting around waiting for them. So, you know what, when the Cougs win tonight, they're going to have to go online and get those tickets, which is tougher.
Ooh, look at AJ's got his Cougs ready.
He's ready. Did you see his shirt? You see his shirt?
Yeah, he's red. He's red.
He's ready, baby. AJ's ready. AJ, what's the final score tonight?
I say U of H 77-68.
Okay. Kicking
it's
that
been a
high
scoring tournament, so yeah.
Okay.
They score 87.
77-68. He likes the over. And again, 140. 140 on that under over.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Maybe.
You said there's money on people coming over, right?
Pardon me?
You said there's money on the over in that, on a little
money on the over.
Game.
Speaking of which.
That's what AJ has it.
Yeah, AJ's got the over. AJ's got the over. Speaking of which, no John Chill today, AJ. No John Chill. He's not going to be able to make it with us today. So he might be here tomorrow. We'll work on that. 713-780-3776. In one of the biggest days we can remember in the city of Houston today, starting with golf. And then on to Astros, then on to the Cougs tonight at Toyota Center. So, just doesn't get much better than this sports day right here on ESPN 97.5, your ESPN station, brought to you by Huntington Bank. Right now, I'm talking about HRP. They bring you payroll. They bring you HR. They bring you a better way and an easier way to do things. I mean, it is so simple. We have someone, a part-timer, in our HR and payroll department. That's it. That's all we got. Very little work to do. Very next to nothing to do. Nothing against what Laura does for us, but she's just part-time now. That's how easy it is when you've got HR&P. All right? You're somebody who's struggling. Your payroll department's getting bigger. Your HR department is getting bigger. You need a CPA to do your taxes. How good are they? I don't know. I do know that they've got affordable care experts at HR&P. It doesn't get any simpler. My wife, we filed together. She was like, hey, send me your W-2. Boom. Took 2 minutes. Done. It is so simple with HR&P. They make it so easy for you and your company just to get these things done that are necessary. If you're struggling, if you're doing way too much, if you're spending way too much, go to HRP.net and see what they can do for you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Big game tonight. Cougs and Illinois.
Well, he just did it again.
He did it again, John.
You're being accused of Coug washing. Tony says, why is L.A. Johnny Cougwashing today's local sports lineup? There's a very big Big Ten basketball game at 6:30. Noted Iowa fan said, you're Cougwashing.
Do you know that the Iowa-Nebraska football game is called the Heroes game? That's the official title.
It's the Loose Meats Bowl when it's played in Iowa.
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
They play for a ham sandwich at the end. Everybody carries around a ham sandwich when they win.
No, Iowa's Loose Meats.
The Heroes game is played between Iowa and Nebraska in football, and if whoever wins gets the Heroes trophy.
Do you know what a Loose Meat sandwich is?
A sandwich? They get a sandwich?
That's what Lance is saying.
No, I'm just saying Iowa's big sandwich is called Loose Meats, and it's like I think it's just ground – just ground beef, like a ground beef sandwich.
Like a less saucy version of a Sloppy Joe?
It's a Sloppy Joe without the sauce.
No. I've seen this on Guy Fieri.
I'm looking at it right now.
Is it? Because I see it on Guy Fieri.
It's loose meat. Yeah, it's loose ground beef.
But it's not Sloppy Joe, right?
No, it doesn't have the sauce on it.
No tomato stuff.
It's onion. You can put onions, pickles, mustard, ketchup. But it's just loose ground beef, and you throw stuff on it.
It's like that's just chopped
gross.
Up. It's a deconstructed hamburger.
Yeah, that's all it is.
No, it's
and
fine.
You know what?
It's messier.
In Iowa, that's fine dining. That is fine dining there.
Sandwich.
What is the official
I mean, it looks kind of good.
Broth.
It's got mustard, pickles,
cheese. But it's,
Have you ever had chopped cheese?
What you throw in a burger?
Johnny, have
pickles.
You ever had a chopped cheese sandwich?
Chopped cheese?
Chopped cheese. It's known as a bodega. It's at bodegas in New York, but they have it at... what's the bodega place? The Burger Bodega here has chopped cheese sandwich. It's good. LaShane used to make it. It's basically the same thing. It's just ground meat. It's chopped up beef, and then there's cheese that's melted into it, and then, you know, you just put whatever you have on the top. Look, it's good. It tastes good. It's messier. I'll just put it inside a tortilla. And make it a taco. That's fine.
Yeah, that's what. It's basically a taco on a bun.
The bread is very important to this whole concoction.
Yes.
Because if it's just ground beef and however you season it, the bread has to be a big deal.
Yeah, but it got to be good. It's got to be a good burger bun.
Yeah, but
now my buddy Michael Bennis used to make, like, he makes, his granny would make granny burgers. And she would take bread and then hollow it out and then put the ground beef in there and cheese and then bake it in an oven. Like, that's okay. I got that. You want to hollow out some bread and stick it in there? That's fine. Now I got a contraption to hold the meat.
You know how hard it is? Especially if there's no that Sloppy Joe sauce to keep it together, the ground beef is falling all over the place.
Yeah, no, you gotta have a fork or spoon with it.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Iowa, clean it up.
Clean it up.
Don't bring your loose meat sandwiches down here, okay?
No,
you come here, you eat a Whataburger or whatever the burger place of choice is, but you don't come here.
I can't help but think every time you say loose meat, I can't help but think of Hope
Solo. I know
what
you're gonna say. There it is. I knew he was going
to
say that.
You didn't have to put a name to it.
I knew what he was going to say that. You know what Nebraska signature sandwich is? I've heard of this, too. A runza. It's a baked yeast dough pocket stuffed with ground beef, cabbage, and sauerkrauts, onions, and spices. These are two loose meat. This is a loose meat sandwich game is what it is. This is ground beef. The two people who just eat their ground beef people. Is what
instead
they
of patty
They're
form,
simple people.
They crumble it up.
But they put theirs in bread. I
and they have corn and potatoes, and that's it.
I got to be honest with you. I kind of like this better.
The runza's contained.
Yeah, it's contained. It's got cabbage and sauerkraut. So for me and my people, you know, it kind of – it's the German-Russian cuisine.
I mean, it seems a little bland to me, but
I like that. Well, we'll put some kind of mustard on it.
Okay.
We'll put some kind of a Dijon mustard
any
or something.
Spice in these sandwiches at all.
Yeah, this does not look like it has a lot of spice.
All right, let's get
these
some calls.
The people we
people want
to
talk about
to
the game,
these
not sandwiches.
Any people who eat loose meat sandwiches on hold?
Oh, see, you may see Tony tricked you two into talking about loose meat sandwiches.
Me. I don't care.
No, I said that.
You're
just
easily
said you
distracted. You two.
I don't care.
Huntington Bank is paying for this. Is that what
you're welcome?
They've been paying for this for a while.
Do you know how many people
are sponsored?
You didn't
studio.
Even know that either. What did you learn today in one sentence? You learned about loose meat sandwiches. Is what you learned and runzas. There's a lot of people who didn't know anything about that, now they will die knowing more about the ground beef sandwiches of the Big Ten.
I runs away from loose meat.
Yeah, that's a good call.
All right, let's get Ryan in here. Hey, Ryan.
I love when people put us on hold. It's one of my favorite things that's happened.
By the way, the Reuben sandwich was
we're
invented.
On hold.
Was
the
invented.
Radio is up. It's all perfect.
Yeah, we might want to put him on hold. The Reuben sandwich is invented in Omaha, Nebraska in 1920.
Of course it was.
Yeah, of course it was. They put sauerkraut on it. Of course it was.
I didn't know I'm saying I didn't know it was all Germans, but my German my German side of my family settled in Kansas, so I guess Nebraska makes some sense too, I suppose.
Yeah. All right.
Anybody else who wants to put us on hold?
Yeah, who's after that? It's Anthony. Hey, Anthony.
Hello.
Hey, guys. So I want to talk about the Rockets, but side note, the sketch I did yesterday with Lance having Tourette's was I got almost crashed into three cars. I literally had to stop, pull over on the freeway just to collect myself.
I thought it was some of the worst radios Dell's ever done.
Anthony, we're going to let you continue, but I do appreciate you positioning it as a skit like any of this crap is planned. Go on.
All right, so the Rockets game. I got infuriated again because I saw a glimpse of how good this team could be at the end of the fourth quarter when they went on that eight-minute run where they basically played just nonstop defense, and LP actually put 100% effort in and started blocking passes, getting steals, diving on the ground. And then he was just like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. And then, of course, they turned back into the Rockets and lost. So if they just play like that, I don't think nobody can beat them. But it's just so frustrating to see the slow tortoise do slow tortoise stuff.
You know, I was catching on.
Go watch the overtime baskets that Minnesota made. It's sickening. LP just standing there watching guys, you know, trying to guard them up at the top of the about the free throw line extended, and them just running by him. It's sickening. Sickening. That was the effort with no help, nothing, time and again. I mean, it was unbelievable. You're right. How good they looked, and then how crappy they looked. It's amazing. Yeah. And the same, like, within minutes of each other. It's amazing. And then the block he had with the bloody mouth. And, you know, somebody was right. They said nobody even went over and congrats. No, nobody. I mean, one guy chest bumped him when he was almost to the bench.
And you used to run. That's I made that point early in the show. Where's everyone running over? Like, Dillon Brooks was that guy. Dillon Brooks would run over and help you up and maybe somebody down.
He would get the opponent out of the way to make sure you weren't going to help him
sure
up.
Make sure he did it in the most gregarious way.
He would
possible
get the
too.
Opponent out of the way. Oh, you're not going to help my guy up. I'm going to help my guy up, and another guy would too. There, you mentioned that moment. There's another moment, I think, in that fourth quarter.
You mean when Amen Thompson got whacked in the face?
A couple of times like that. But Albie was on the ground on a hustle play, and it took forever to anyone to get over him. Not just the play we're talking about, the play with the blood, but there's another play where he was laying on the ground, and it took a while for anyone to run over there, and eventually they got over there, and they eventually got on the ground.
Super weird.
We're picking at things, so who knows, but yeah, if you're watching for that stuff, it is noticeable that there are times where the energy on this team seems off.
It really does, and it's that teamwork makes a dream work mentality of running over and helping up. Like, that was a given. That was a lock last year that they were going to do that, and it's not happening as much. It's like they're like, you know, you don't want to believe that Kendrick Perkins was right when he says the Rockets go their separate ways after games. But I do wonder how he knows. Like, I do wonder if he's guessing that or if he's heard that.
Yeah.
Because you never know with NBA guys. They have connections inside of every – well, not that's not necessarily true. But sometimes they can have connections in a building somewhere. He might be hearing that from somebody.
Yeah.
He might be hearing it from KD. I don't know. No, he wouldn't hear that from KD. Here's what Tony from Loose Meat says. Secret to good loose meat sandwich, steam the ground beef with a little bit of Sprite. On God.
What?
Now, I'm telling you, he's the one from Iowa. Isn't a joke.
With Sprite and steam?
Yeah, it's not even a joke. He said that.
That is so Iowa. Good Lord.
Using
that
Sprite
doesn't
as
get any more Iowa than cooking with
additive.
Sprite.
Yeah, what are we talking about? Sprite? That's
cooking
how you
with
get a
Sprite.
Sandwich? To be honest,
I'm Guy Fieri, and I'm going to show you how to make a sandwich with Sprite.
Oh my God. That's why you people are so heavy. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in.
Sprite witch?
Let's take a quick one here. And we got We got a lot of stuff to do here. If you want to get in, hurry up. 713-780-3776. You got to talk a little Taquerias.
Yeah, Taquerias Arandas. You headed there for breakfast? If you are, I suggest a plate. I mean, breakfast tacos are great. You can do that too. Great to bring into the office. But if you're going to stop in, get a plate, man. Here's what I like to do. Post my phone up, bring my headphones in, sit by myself, and watch a story while I'm eating my breakfast at Taquerias Arandas. You get the refried beans, a little breakfast potatoes, some bacon. I mean, I'm kind of projecting what I like, maybe some migas. You can have whatever you want. They got a big, wide variety to choose from for breakfast. And that's 7 days a week that you're getting a delicious breakfast from over at Taquerias Arandas. It's a great way to start your day off. Yes, you have lunch and you have dinner. You can watch sporting events there. But I want to focus in for just a second on breakfast because it really is something that you can take into the office with your breakfast tacos, or you can stop in and get your day started the right way at a Taquerias Arandas, or go in late at night if you'd like to for a delicious breakfast as well, because they serve breakfast all day long. So Taquerias Arandas. Over 20 locations here in the Houston and surrounding areas. Stop in and enjoy great, authentic Mexican food for very reasonable prices. Taquerias Arandas.
ESPN 97.5. This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Big ups, Huntington Bank. We appreciate you. Thanks for sponsoring today, all day long, at St. Arnold's. All right, the game is at Toyota Center. And when asked about, we played a Brad Underwood. Brad Underwood is pretty good. He's pretty good soundbite. So is Kelvin. I mean, you got some really good. I think college basketball coaches, I think we found, who was the college basketball coach in one of the interviews during the game? He said, "I'm firing my whole staff. I'm firing the whole staff because we can't stop. We can't get an offensive rebound or whatever."
Kevin Willard?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was Maryland.
Villanova coach, right?
Villanova. Yep. I'm firing the whole. Willard was it at Maryland? Now he's at Villanova. I'm firing the whole staff. That got a reaction. I'm on a chain with some coaches. They didn't really appreciate him throwing his staff under the bus in the middle of a game. But that's neither here nor there. Brad Underwood asked about playing at Toyota Center, a home game for the Cougs, basically. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I've been asked that before, and I'll be honest, I could care less. And I'm gonna sound really kind of selfish here. I'm an old JUCO ball coach. I drove on 16-passenger vans. I drove from Dodge City, Kansas to Mesa, Arizona for a basketball game, for a tournament in a bus. You had told me back then that I'm getting to coach basketball in the Sweet 16 and play Houston. I would sign up for it. I would crawl to get there. If we want to beat them, no matter where we play them, we'd have to play great. Guess what? We're going to have to do that tomorrow. And I think they're going to have to play well if they want a chance to beat us. And so we've won on the road. We've been pretty successful doing that in the Big Ten. So I don't pay too much attention to it. I'm just grateful for the opportunity. And playing Houston's a challenge enough. It doesn't matter where.
All right. By the same token, the Cougs are basically at home. They were 2.6 miles, I think, from the campus to, not that they're on campus.
Oh, well. Yeah. All right, so what?
See, no, I too think bad, this so is sad. That's a call out to the fans. Brad Underwood ain't worried about y'all. Y'all better show up.
Well, even if you show up.
You know, that's something.
They're playing a road game. They've won road games, he said. We win road games, oh well. We're going to play on the road, oh well.
Look, we've talked about it and how great this is for the Cougs to be playing at home. I just don't know that the rest of the country fears a Houston basketball crowd. I don't like if it was, hey, Brad Underwood, you're playing 5 miles away from Cameron Indoor.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't have the answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
They
I don't
would if it was a regular season. That home court advantage is real at Houston.
I would agree, but maybe that's just his vibe because he just kind of explained it.
Houston fans historically have not been the loudest in tournament settings, and this goes back forever.
I just don't know that there's a reputation that they can swing a game.
Well,
because of,
and it's not that they're not loud. It's just the masses. They don't have the same
They don't have the same amount.
Yeah,
I will say this, and I've been to every Houston arena. It's the best. It's not reactive. It's proactive. They scream. I mean, as far as being at – now, that's at the Fertitta Center, not so much Toyota Center. At the Fertitta Center, there's no – I've never seen a better crowd in Houston. I mean, the Texans are, you know, at times okay. The Rockets, the Toyota Center is not like that at all. Astros baseball is reactive, not proactive. It's proactive at Fertitta, but they're not playing at Fertitta Center. So it's going to be different.
It's a much larger venue where it's hard to be loud. Like in those venues, I just don't love basketball in these venues. It's
well, this
just,
one is an actual basketball
isn't.
Arena.
Oh, no, that's right. It's not It's not at
Toyota. So it's you do have that.
That's right. Yeah, my bad.
Built for basketball.
Yeah, the Final Four is the Final Four. The Final Fours are not good in those venues. I watched it here. I watched it in Indianapolis. It's just not great. But yeah, that's right. Toyota Center, that'll be and that can get potentially loud, but it's also quartered.
Like it's quartered.
It's not quartered off because the fan base is your tickets are sold per game.
It actually may be less than quartered off for Cougs fans because Iowa and Nebraska are so happy to be here, they're gonna pay whatever for those tickets. Now, whether or not they could get here because of TSA is another story. Whether or not they braved it.
Well, we're the worst. I've been keeping up with this. By the way, it was three. So it was listed as 4 hours the other day. The guy in the line said he was very happy. It only ended up being 2.5 hours.
Oh,
nice.
And he got there 6 hours before his flight or whatever. But actually, other cities are not having the same issues we are. For some reason, they flash, and ours have been really bad. And sometimes it's at Hobby and sometimes it's at Bush, but lately it's been at Bush a lot more.
So Bomani Jones had a Van Lathan on. They're discussing the TSA waits, and apparently New Orleans, Atlanta, and Houston have the longest waits. And he was like, three of the blackest cities have the longest waits. And he was like, you're not gonna have black people show up to work if they're not getting paid. Like, why would they, with no guarantee that money's gonna come back to them, they're not showing up. So that was his explanation for why.
There's
TSA's
a lot of people who are getting screwed who are working.
Yeah.
Like
you know, you know what though? Last time that's not a great way to look at it because last time they overpaid everybody who did show up. They said they gave money. They said, okay, for showing up, we are going to you're going to benefit with extra pay for what you more than you would have made just working.
Yeah,
just kind of the get back whenever they're done because they got food pantry stuff set up for workers now to just try to get meals. I mean that's gonna be tough action. I'll say that.
No, absolutely. Now that on the other side of the coin, what about Houston playing at home? Kingston was asked, "Hey, how great is this that you're basically at home playing a Sweet 16 game?" AJ didn't have that ready. Sorry about that, AJ. He is getting it now.
Yeah, look how
he
nice
tries
he is
to talk
to him.
Him into. John tries to talk people into sound bites.
Well, I had it in there.
It's a lead-in, but sometimes you just don't know if he's going to get to it or you don't have it ready.
Well, before the segment, hey AJ, we're going to play
he doesn't
this.
Do that.
Yeah,
you don't know John's doing that.
I he doesn't do it to me.
Wow. I do. But you don't have AJ, my so mic might, up. You never have my mic up during a break.
Because all you do is cough into the mic.
No, I don't. No. You're just an a-hole, that's all.
That's true.
That's true, but that's not why I do it. I just don't want to hear
No, you do it because you're an
room.
A-hole, that's why.
That's not why.
Here is Kingston.
Protecting
that's the second
my
time I've heard that today that you're an a-hole.
From the same guy.
That doesn't matter. It's twice.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Sources.
No, it's confirmed.
Sources confirmed.
I got
a second source.
Two sources.
Two sources.
one source two times.
That's right. So it is real. AJ, we ready? Here's Kingston talking about playing at home.
No, I feel like, honestly, I feel like pressure is self-induced. But, like, I don't really think you should have more pressure than you're going to Houston. At the end of the game, it's we're just excited to play here. I mean, we're excited to play. It doesn't matter if we're playing in a gym by ourselves, us versus them, we'd be excited for the 2016 game. You know, the fans are honestly there for TV. Obviously, we love having our fans there, and they love having their fans there. But both teams will be fine with playing anywhere. We're both just hard competing teams, and we're just excited for that. So I don't think anyone on this team feels more pressure because we're a little closer to home at home, technically.
It doesn't matter, he said. Doesn't matter. That was a lot of external noise in that one.
I imagine he's just around a bunch of other guys getting asked.
Everybody's getting questions. Yeah, right.
Both sound clips have underplayed it from the Illinois side and the Houston side, which is just to say, hey,
is it
now? Basketball.
Is it a big deal?
Well, if they get off to a good start, sure, the crowd will be gone. They'll have everything behind them. But what does it mean if they start the game 3-12 from the field and Illinois has a lead? Does the crowd – how effective will the crowd be in keeping them up? I don't know. It's interesting because it's somewhat unique. We've had it with the Cougs on the other side. Did it help Purdue? Maybe.
Well, Kelvin Sampson thought it did.
Well, see, Kelvin Sampson approaches it differently than Brad Underwood. We'll see what Brad Underwood says after the game because he is kind of downplaying it before.
Yeah, I'm sure after the game it'll be a different story. If, in fact, the Cougs have a dominant fan base there, if that's the case. I'm going to tell you this. After that first game, you're probably going to have a lot of empty seats. Certainly you're going to have the losers are all going to leave. They're going to leave, so that might even be. And if it's Nebraska, they're bringing a contingent down here. And, you know, whatever, if Nebraska wins – it's going to look like it's all Cook fans because they wear red, too.
Well, it can look a certain way.
Yeah. But whether or not
it may not sound a certain way.
Well, I would imagine if I'm Nebraska and you win that game, or Iowa, and you win that game, you're rooting for Illinois.
Yes, they are. No, everyone's going to be cheering against Houston. I've seen this before. I watched it in Houston when they played Maryland back in the day in the Summit. Everyone gangs up on the best team. All the opposing fans gang up on the best team. It's a lock. And why wouldn't you?
Yep.
Get them up on out of here. No one wants Houston winning.
Plus.
Except us.
Plus, Big Ten. Big Ten. Big Ten. Big Ten. They're going to be chanting Big Ten there.
Yeah, I don't know the Illinois.
They don't do that.
How Illinois feels about Iowa and Nebraska. I don't think the loser of that Iowa-Nebraska game is going to be rooting on the winner.
The loser's out of the building.
No, I know, but even still, they won't go, you know what would be great? If it's Iowa or Nebraska playing the Cougs, I don't think the loser of that game is going to be rooting on the winner. Hey, it'd be great if the Big Ten made the Final Four, if it's Iowa or Nebraska.
No, but they won't even be there, so it doesn't matter.
No, I'm not talking about the actual cheering in the building. I'm talking about what they think. I don't think that's how it goes for those two. Illinois, who knows how they feel about other Big Ten teams, but we know Iowa and Nebraska aren't happy. Look, that's an SEC thing. Let's be clear.
But they don't
want one conference who does that.
Right, but they don't. Nobody wants to play the Cougs. I'm going to tell you that.
But they won't be rooting for their conference mate no matter what. SEC coded for whatever reason.
That is what happens with every conference. You root for your conference.
No.
Okay?
No, you are rivals for a reason. You don't want success for your rival.
My wife is praying on the downfall of every rival she has.
Yeah.
She prays on the downfall of the Aggies and Sooners and Notre Dame and Miami. Anybody that's beaten Texas, you know, Miami with
You mean the Cotton Bowl? She stole that?
You remember the embarrassing, 91 belt to ass?
Yeah, back in the Cotton Bowl, way back.
Notre Dame got them once, and now they can go bleep themselves for life.
Wow.
Like, she prays on all of their downfalls.
She
holds grudges.
That's how a good fan.
She's a woman. No. She holds grudges.
Well, that's unfortunate.
SEC.
You said that.
SEC.
But pushing SEC. Aside
Big
what they
Ten.
Did to you,
Big
like in October,
Big
like in football.
Ten.
Hey, I know, we just lost to them in October, but now that they have a shot to win the national title, let's root for them.
So
no,
I ask
Big
SEC fans.
Ten.
Who
Big
I can't remember. Ten. I can't remember who I was asking about the SEC and the SEC cheer, SEC cheer. And what I was told was no one will ever do it for Alabama winning. Now, this was probably about 6 years ago when Bama was winning. Like, that doesn't exist. Auburn will never do it for Alabama.
Of course.
Alabama would never do it for
Rightfully
Auburn.
Rightfully so.
It's as long as it doesn't have a direct impact on you, and a lot of times lesser to, you know, you do it, you say it when your own team is winning. Like, if Auburn's winning, they'll say SEC, SEC. You don't say it when one of your rivals.
When Georgia's winning, you don't say it.
Yeah, no. They just say it whenever their own team is winning. They chant it in the stands. But you don't say it when one of your rivals. And let's face it, everybody in SEC is a rival. Yeah. They don't actually like each other.
Yeah, they're all. Yeah, they use each other to prop themselves up. But
yeah,
they don't actually like each other.
It's a collective, but it's
no,
they don't like each other.
Yeah, my wife never roots for Alabama, ever. Ever.
No, nobody.
But,
I was.
But the SEC that. Thing is real. It's real.
Well, the SEC all, thing is real, but they chant it when they're at the game, though, when their team is playing.
Yeah, they but they also root for SEC teams other than Alabama in non-SEC settings.
Yes, if they're sticking it up someone's ass.
Wow.
That's seriously.
If they're, yes,
that's
if
what
they're
it is.
Trying to use the
with,
SEC to prop themselves up.
If they're by themselves, they don't. It's like they probably are hoping this team loses. If they're with other people, hey, look what we did to you, SEC. We yeah.
Because it makes them look better.
Look at SEC.
It makes them look better.
Always,
it's all fake, though.
They're
SEC
superior.
Guy used to always claim Kentucky as his team, too.
They're superior in every way. That's what they want.
Except not in college football anymore. They're not superior
no.
in any way.
I haven't
they
seen
still
them in a national championship
are.
Game for years.
They
what,
still
COVID?
Think they are.
It's not since Georgia beat up on TCU.
Yeah, Georgia TCU, and that was
2022?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2022.
Wow. Yeah. It's a long time
right.
ago.
Loose meats wasn't even invented back then.
Runza? What about the Runza
Runzas
sandwich?
Runzas weren't even invented probably in 2022.
All right, we got a break.
We're winning World Series. We won a World Series in 2022.
We're still the best team in baseball
yeah,
in 2022.
What are you talking about?
Right. And the SEC was the best then.
Yep. Good old days.
Big Ten. Big Ten.
That's not a thing. It doesn't
it
even
is a
sound
thing.
Good.
Why are you
I just
cheering for
it.
Illinois? AJ, clip that.
Yeah.
If the Cougs
save
lose,
that AJ.
Save that AJ.
Time to break. Don't go anywhere. Brought to you by Huntington Bank, ESPN 97.5 live at St. Arnold's all day long.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.